Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C.
This hour is presented by Mainstay Financial and Annalee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Annalee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Annalee. Annalee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Annalee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Annalee.
Everyone's a winner. Oh, I love it. I love it. Good morning, Miss Ruthie. How are you?
Good morning, Annalee. I am doing well. How are you this morning?
Well, look, the sun is shining. It's got a little nip in the air, and it's like, gosh, gee, I ought to be out in the golf course, but it would probably be too cold. So we'll do a radio show instead. How's that?
I like it. That sounds good to me.
I love it. I love it. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob. And my bud, Mr. Bob, is in here with me. How are you, Mr. Bob?
Doing well. Doing well. Beautiful day.
Good. Yeah. See, and Bob, you know, Ruthie is the typical guy. I'm freezing and he's running around in his short sleeve shirts. And
yeah,
I could slap him sometime, but that's okay.
I've got a sweater on today. Thanks for noticing.
I know you do. I was proud of you. And it looks very suave, I might add, you know?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, gosh. Well, so glad to have all of you with us today. And of course, we welcome your questions, your comments. Call us or text us at 437-1620. We would love to hear from you. And if I say something that you really want to get more deeply into, call my office, 437-3127, and let's set up a time to talk to each other. You can come in and talk to Bob and I together, or Bob or I. And, you know, this is our expertise. This is what we do. Every day, all day, we help people plan for retirement, get into those retirement years, feel secure, and have a place where you can become educated on all of the things that matter to you. You know, you've got to, if you at least have an understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing it, you are so much more comfortable with your decisions. You know, I just think gone are the days, Bob, where people go in and the person who sits behind the desk becomes the divine being who knows everything. And you, the person sitting on the other side, know nothing.
That's
changed.
I mean,
medicine has changed that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think everyone is so much more informed. They have such better access to information, and I mean it's amazing how well our clients and prospective clients come to the table so well prepared.
Yes,
case in point,
which
yesterday.
Is a good thing.
Yeah. Just statements, and you know they're running off their Social Security projected benefits. It's amazing. So
it is. Yeah. And it's a good thing, and you have to feel comfortable with the person that is helping you with your money. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I've seen during my lifetime, I've had some very good physicians. I think of one several years ago. He's very, very good, but I never felt comfortable with him. So you know what? I found another one.
Right.
And, I mean, that's, you know, because this is a person you're trusting with a lot of stuff. So it's got to be a good thing. So let's kind of pick up, Bob, where we left off last week. We talked about some of the changes that have taken place and the confusion with the new required minimum distribution rules, what that's going to mean for us next year, because we're going to have people under three different distribution tables. So if you're getting confused, call us. We'll help you get through the quagmire as to what you are and are not supposed to be doing. But before we pick up, I do want to repeat so that everybody understands this. the year 2020, no one has to make a required minimum distribution. You can take money from your IRA or your 401 if you want to, but no one has a required minimum distribution. If you inherited an IRA, if you have one, you have a 401k, that rule for this year was suspended.
Right.
Now, as far as we know, 2021, it's coming back in. Nobody said no yet, but that, let's just make sure we understand that.
Right. And I think it is coming back in 2021. But important not to panic at this point, because you can. And you know, what is your take on that? At this point in time, if you needed money, would you push it out to January 2021 to have it taxable in that year? Or would you go ahead and take it now?
It depends on how dire the need is,
right,
I guess.
Right. We've had clients come in and they've been, they think income taxes are going up next year, so maybe I should take it this year, and then you're playing that game. Mm-hmm. But, I think it's always good to push it out, especially if you do not need it.
Right. And even if you do need it, you know, the income tax tables, yes, they're going to go up a little next year, but that was already in the works.
Right.
That's not because of change of political parties. Mm-hmm. That was already in the works. And that change is not going to be that great. It really isn't. So I would say this late in the year, if you need money and you can put it off just the few days till January, I would take it in January.
Yes.
And it, let it cover next year's RMD, which you're going to have to take anyway.
Right.
I mean, why take money now, pay tax, and then take it again next year and pay tax?
I agree. Push it out to next year. So picking up where we left off, and let's, I think we need to go back and just cover real quickly what we talked about. The Secure Act. The two big things coming out of the Secure Act, and that was passed in December of 2019, mm-hmm. was, of course, the mandatory distributions from your IRAs was taken from 70.5 to 72. That was an important change. And so, of course, 72 is when your RMDs would begin. And then the other one, of course, is the elimination of the stretch IRA.
Yes.
Your non-spouse beneficiaries, for all intents and purposes, and there are exceptions, disabled and so on and so forth, but children specifically, and any non-spouse beneficiary is going to be required to really empty the IRA that they inherited within 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's a big tax, a big income tax hit. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Big difference. So, you know, this is the point, I think, where you need to, if you have a substantial IRA that is there, that you know a lot of it will be left to the children, this is the time to start the tax planning and think about things that you could do. You may not do them, but you have to think about things you could do to lower tax burden for yourself and for the heirs.
Right.
But that's a whole nother show we can go into with that. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Right.
Okay.
We're going to see a lot of planning surrounding that 10-year rule and the elimination of the stretch IRA. And I think we've actually read a couple of things that are very interesting. But again, that's for another show.
Yes.
But the other thing is the tables have been revised. They've been revised, mm-hmm. but they weren't revised in time to make them effective for 2021. They will become effective in 2022. So what that means is for 2020, 2021, and 2022, you will be using different required minimum distribution guidelines. And of course, this year, it's different because your RMD is suspended for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, we go back to normal, or as far as we know. And then 2022, the uniform lifetime table, the single life expectancy table, and the joint and last survivor life expectancy tables will change. And
yes,
what that really means is the factor is going up because our life expectancy is going up. And that means you will have to take out less in 2022.
Correct. Now, and there's also been some talk about, or if you will, the old pirate term, scuttlebutt. people talking about things they're not quite sure of. But there's been the possibility of talk that they're actually talking about taking that required minimum distribution age and stretching it to age 75. Now, that is... doesn't say yes, it's going to happen, but you know, as things are changing, they just might come up and do something like that. I, for one, would be all for it. I'm not sure about other people because it's still your money. You can take it if you want to, but if you don't want to take it, I think the further they push that age back, the longer you have to accumulate more money for latter years, which is when you may need it.
Right.
You know, and I just don't like that idea of taking money if I don't need it.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's part of the rule that was made from the very beginning when they, and people never paid attention to that. All they heard was, well, I'm going to save tax money today if I put money into this or into my 401k, which indeed you did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if the government makes the rules up front, guess who gets to make the rules on the back end?
Right. And, you know, I think part of the decision-making process there is, you know, let's face it, you know, the government wants to get their, you know, their income tax revenue. And
correct.
If you're pushing it out a couple of years or even a couple, you know, that would be 4.5 years from what it from what it was in 2019. You know, that's a big, that's a long period of time to wait for that revenue.
Yes.
So yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. See where that's going.
Right.
What else do we have in that one that we didn't finish last week, Bob, that we should go through?
Well, there were some interesting points made, and you know, one of them was if you move to Florida from a state that has a state income tax, and we touched on state income taxes a little bit.
Yes.
But you know, what do I do since I'm filing my taxes and I'm a Florida resident? Do I not owe state income taxes on my IRA distributions, or let's say if you took it when you were in the other state, and that's really what governs this, is if you move from one state to another, and while you were in the other state, you took distributions, you're going to owe state income taxes for those distributions that took place while you were domiciled in that state that had state income taxes. But,
right.
You know, another, you know, just another planning idea. If you're moving to Florida or moving from Florida to a state that has state income taxes. And of course, there are a couple states, yeah, you know, there are several states that don't have it, Alaska, Texas, Tennessee, and some others. But
I'm not going to Alaska. I'm
right.
Sorry.
Make sure. Yeah, but you know,
been there once.
Yeah. But if you're moving to or moving from one of those places, make sure you take your distribution when you arrive.
Yes. Yes. And if you're moving from Florida to a state that has an income tax, take it before you move,
right,
vice
on.
Versa.
Right on.
So just do some planning on these things. Now, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Winning with Maine today with Annalee and Bob, and we're doing some catch-up end-of-year type things that you need to think about as the year is coming closer, because you know what happens at the end of the year.
Right.
As we get into next year, we got to file taxes and we got to do all that stuff. And you think, gee, gosh, I just did that. No, it's going to be time to do those things again.
Right.
So pay attention to these things, write them down. Mm-hmm. Call us or text us if you have a question now, 437-1620. Or if it's something really in-depth and personal, call at my office, 437-3127. We'd love to have a conversation with you or hear your comments or questions. Okay, let's go into the next part, Bob.
Well, as you know, this is Roth conversion season. We have we've done several. Several. We've done many throughout the year, but as your tax planning and your income tax liability shapes up towards the end of the year, you can really decide on how much of your Roth that you want to convert to your traditional IRA and therefore pay taxes on it. And, you know, you just don't know what your income's going to be until the end of the year, you know, unless you have a level income through the entire year. But you never know. Mm-hmm. So December's a good time to do that. Any time of the year is a good time to do that. But as we approach the end of the year, that's when this thing really takes off.
And let me touch on something there, Bob, because one of the things I find very, very often, people get very, very confused on the two terms, conversion and contribution. They are two different things.
Entirely
Please understand
different.
That.
Yes.
So to make a contribution, you must have a job. You have to have earned income. You are limited as to how much you can do. So if you're over the age of 50, you can contribute $7,000 a year to your Roth or your traditional IRA. Now, a conversion, that IRA is already established. It's there. It is a traditional IRA. You are taking a part of it, and there is no limit as to how much you can convert. You just have to work with your financial advisor and your tax person to find out how much it is wise to convert so you don't kill yourself in taxes, because there's no limit as to how much you can convert. There's no limit as to how many times during a year you can convert. So don't get those two terminologies mixed up. I had a gentleman in here this week who we were talking about conversions, and he said, you know, oh, I'm limited to the $7,000 a year. And he said, no. That's the contribution.
Right, right.
So remember, yeah, those are two very distinct things.
Yeah, that's a great point, Annalee. And also, of course, your contribution, you have until April of next year to do it for this year. Go ahead and, you know, you can do it during this year for 2020, but you do have up until, you know, tax time of next year to do it for this year. But
right,
this is the conversion season.
But now follow, the conversion you have to do before December the 30th. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And we've actually done a couple over the last week, I'd say. It's it's a powerful thing. And, you know, what we see so often is somebody that, you know, say they've retired at 62, 65, and they are not going to take any money out of their IRA until they're, at this point, 72. They just don't need it. So you have this little window of time where your income, your taxable income, you know, is going to be less than what it's going to be at 72, and or 70 and a half if you're and you know, whatever your required minimum distribution age is. But if you go ahead and convert some now, you know that is going to be a better thing to do than to just defer it all until you are 72 at this point. And
you know what you're talking about, Bob? You're talking about having a plan.
Right.
Don't just wait till the last minute and say, oh, what can I do? No, retirement is all about having a plan. We talked to a young couple yesterday, you and I did, and they were talking about the fact that before COVID, they did a lot of cruises,
right,
and now they're getting close to retirement. And they said, well, let me ask you something. When you go on a cruise, do you know what cruise line you're going on? Yeah. Do you know where you're going? Yeah. Do you know what ports you're going to stop at? Yeah. Do you know when you're going to come back? Yeah. Well, see, retirement's the same thing.
Right.
But what do we see? We see too many people wait till after they've retired to say, oh, what do? I have no idea. And just float along and pay a lot of unnecessary taxes, run out of money before they run out of life, which is the worst thing that can happen.
Correct.
But if you have a plan, you avoid doing all those things. So it's like you're saying, what do I do now? When do I do it? What are my options? And then make a decision if that's what you want to do or not.
Right.
That to me is the whole essence. You got to have a plan.
And as a very broad generalization, and I think you and I both subscribe to this, it is always, almost always, better to defer the tax liability. However, if you know that your income is going to be substantially more, you know, down the road, why not level it out or run through the rest of your marginal income tax rate at by doing a Roth conversion during this time? You're not taking RMDs from your taxable IRA. So,
right.
Again, and we can't say this enough, you need to sit down, or not sit down with, but at least contact your tax advisor and see if this is something that is appropriate for you in any year.
Yeah, and you know, that goes back to what we said before. It's the plan that is built on working with a team. That team has got to be your financial advisor, your tax advisor, sometimes your legal advisor, you know, your attorney. The more you work with the team process, that you have exponentially brought your odds up of doing the right thing. And that's what you want to do. You want to do what's best. I had a conversation this morning with the gentleman, and he was asking me some very pointed questions. And I said, you know, truthfully, I can't answer some of those till I know more about you.
Right.
And your age and what your plans are and what you want to do. Once I have all that information, then I can answer some very specific questions. But I think it's impossible to answer some questions till you really, really know about that person.
Right. That's right.
You know? So do we have time? Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes. Let's see. Do we have another point we've got to cover before we go into the news?
Well, I thought, you know, I did a little digging on, you know, the Roth IRA. It's very interesting, and I think it's maybe over the next 2 minutes or minute and a half, whatever we have left. You know, it's always good, and you've taught me how to do this, to find out, to learn where we are. It's always great to find out where we've been and how we got there. But this, the Roth IRA has only been around since 1998. And,
right.
You know, people like us, Annalee, you know, we don't have the, you know, unless we're doing huge conversions, we didn't have that opportunity when we were early in our careers to contribute to a Roth. The Roth feature in 401ks didn't even come into existence till, I believe it was 2006 or 2007, one of those years. So we haven't had that opportunity. Now, younger people, you know, the first thing spilling out of their mouth, Ruthie C here, you know, Roth IRA. It is the greatest,
right.
It is the greatest account of all time. The problem is,
yes,
you can only contribute outside your 401k $7,000 a year, you know, depending,
right,
on your age.
And then they put income limits on it. If you make too much money, they don't let you do a Roth.
Right.
Which to me is kind of really foolish. But that's another thing they're talking about changing it, as they're going back through these tax brackets, and what you can do is raising how much we're going to be able to put into the Roth, and raising that income level, because they need to adjust that for inflation.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, maybe after the break, we can talk, you know, a little bit more about the evolution of the Roth IRA, how it came into being, and, you know, what a powerful account it is. But I think we're getting ready to hear some news. Is that correct, Ruthie?
That's right. Yes. In just a moment here, we are going to hop over to Mark for the news. He's going to tell us what's going on in the world. Also, of course, check in with Fox News. I appreciate this conversation. I didn't realize that the Roth IRA hadn't been an option for that long. So,
yeah.
As always, I'm learning so much. But
good.
Mark, yes, Mark, I know Annalee wants
good
to know
news.
What's good in the world.
What's going on?
Good news, Mark. Good news.
Well, there's going to be a COVID vaccine soon.
Yay,
unfortunately,
hey.
Unfortunately, it's not coming here right away. The story after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President-elect Biden has decided who he wants in charge of the military.
Fox News has learned that President-elect Biden will choose four-star Army General Lloyd Austin to be his defense secretary. If confirmed, Austin would be the first black Pentagon chief. But to get the job, he'll need a congressional waiver because he has not been retired for at least 7 years. He retired in 2016.
Fox's Griff Jenkins, the president-elect introduces members of his health team today. Florida state law enforcement agents raid the home of Rebecca Jones. She was fired as the state's coronavirus data curator after publicly questioning the numbers. Jones posted video of the raid and says her computer equipment was taken. She is suspected of illegally accessing the state's emergency health alert system to send a message to employees asking them to speak out. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 51, mostly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. Looks like even if a COVID-19 vaccine's approved for emergency use this week, it won't be available in the Pensacola area till after the first of the year. Escambia County Commission Chairman Robert Bender says that's despite indications that other nearby areas like Mobile could have it by next week. Marie Mott with the State Department of Health in Escambia County says she's been told hospitals in South Florida could also have doses by next week, but the panhandle probably won't see any vaccine till January. Only one confirmed positive case of COVID-19 at the Escambia County Jail right now. According to the latest information from the county, there have been nearly 200 positive cases medically cleared, another 17 released from custody, leaving just one positive case for the time being. In all, more than 800 Escambia County inmates have been tested, with just over 200 positive tests. There are currently 29 Escambia County inmates who test positive being held in the Walton County Jail. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
We will be warming into the upper 50s this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies are on tap today with a light breeze, north wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. As you go into the overnight tonight, nice clear skies and that low near 45. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
51 in Pensacola, 52 in Gulf Breeze and Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Stocks are mixed. The Dow Industrial's up 71 at 30,141. The S&P 500 is up 3, but the NASDAQ is down 10. Britain began the mass vaccination of its population against COVID-19 today, becoming the first Western nation to do so in a global endeavor that poses one of the biggest logistical challenges in history. A day dubbed V-Day, health workers started inoculating people with a shot developed by Pfizer, with the country a test case for the world as it contends with distributing a compound that must be stored at minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit. Apple today revealed plans to sell AirPods-branded over-the-ear headphones, an expansion of its product lineup in a direct strike against companies like Bose and Sony. Apple's new AirPods Max will cost $549 and promise noise canceling, advanced acoustics, and up to 20 hours of battery life. Stitch Fix shares up 44% after the company reported a surprise quarterly profit. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Orr's and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says. If you don't have a good air filter, you are one. So, get the most out of your heating and cooling system. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 934-2768 or visit them on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com.
Now, more of the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All I do is win, win, win. Win, win, win. Money on my mind. Everybody's hand go up, and they stay there, and they stay there, and they stay there, and they stay there, up, down, up, down. I just woke up Lance from his nap. Oh, poor little dude. His little paws were moving, and he was breakdancing. And speaking of breakdancing, do you know what I saw in the news this morning? I don't know if anybody else saw this. They're looking at making break dancing part of the Olympics.
Oh, interesting.
What?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I saw that this morning and I'm like, excuse me? This is considered a sport now? I mean, it would seem they would do something like ballroom dancing before they do that. Because this is the first time dancing has ever been, would be, a part of the Olympics. So I thought it was very interesting.
Right.
Doesn't have much to do with financial planning, but I thought that was interesting.
I think about every Olympics, which is, you know, every 4 years, they add a sport. And
yeah.
I remember I remember when synchronized swimming was added.
Yes.
And, you know, how insulting it was to the swimmers
to-do.
And the divers who,
a big to do.
Somebody's going to get the same hardware that I've worked so hard for. And then there was another one, you know, the one where you have basically the baton that has the streamers on it.
Yes,
you did it on the same mat as the gymnastics.
Oh, right, like ribbon dancing.
Yes, yes. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anything's possible.
I wonder what the ancient Greeks would think of the breakdancing.
Yeah.
But let's face it. Now, Ruthie, come on. If we go back to the Romans and the Greeks, they killed people during the Olympics.
Okay,
so we don't want to go back there.
We don't want to go to those standards.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that.
Right.
So welcome back to Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob. Remember, please, if you have a comment, if you have a question, call us or text us at 437-1620. If Bob or I or both of us can help you with your retirement planning and putting together a plan for you, call my office, 437-3127, and get an appointment. Let's sit down for an hour and a half. It won't cost you anything, but let's find out where you are and if indeed you do or don't have a plan, or if you even understand what you're doing now and what you're in. That's all so, so important, people. So let us hear from you. Today, 437-1620. Call us or text us if you want an appointment, 437-3127. So we're going through some end-of-the-year things you have to be aware of. We've covered the idea if you want to do Roth conversions, you have to do them before the end of the year. If you wanted to count for this year's tax year, which would be a good thing because it's a lower tax that we have to deal with. You don't have to make a required minimum distribution this year. So a good year to convert some money because you don't have the additional tax if you're at that age group. So tell me what direction we want to go in now, Mr. Bob.
Okay, so I want to share with you a few facts about the Roth IRA and how it came into being. Mm-hmm. Of course, we mentioned that it's only been around since 1998. That is very recently when you're as old as I am, okay? And
I think I was 20.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were well on our way to contributing to 401ks. And again, the 401k Roth feature didn't come into being until I think it was 2006, 2007. And as a matter of fact, many 401ks, I don't want to say the majority, but I would say over half the ones I see now don't offer the Roth feature now, or people haven't taken advantage of it because they want the immediate income tax deduction. So now this is very interesting and kind of, you know, lets us all know how Washington works as well. But the Roth IRA was first introduced in 1987. It was introduced by Bob Packwood and William Roth, its namesake, and it took 10 years to get it pushed through.
To get it passed.
Annalee, when it was introduced, do you remember the name they gave it before it became the Roth IRA?
No, I don't, Bob.
It was called the IRA Plus. Now, I kind of vaguely remember talk about it back in maybe the 80s and 90s, but it didn't come into being until 1998. And and what's interesting about how it came into being was Congress would not pass an increase to the traditional IRA contribution because they did not want to give up the revenue from the IRA contribution deduction. So the way it was pushed through was, we're going to start this account. Nobody's going to get to claim it as a deduction, right? And, they still can't. And we're going to put income limitations on it. And one other thing, and Annalee, you will remember this from the late 90s. We are going to create a lot of revenue by allowing anybody in the first 5 years, in the first year that they do a Roth conversion, to spread the tax liability out over 5 years.
Yes.
And that created a boatload of income tax revenue for, you know, the federal government and the states. And that's really how it got pushed through. So now we have, you know, what I would call, you know, the golden goose, the greatest account of all time. And Annalee, you and I do this, you know, we sit down with folks and we tell them, how would you like to contribute to an account where all of the earnings during the life of the account, you know, the earnings, you know, the interest, the dividends, the appreciation,
the compounding,
is never taxed. It's compounded. You can do it for your entire life. And when you pull the money out, whenever you choose, of course, you know, after 59 and a half, none of it is taxed like your IRA. And, you know, sign me up. Let's put as much as we can in there. Well, that's the rub. You can't, you know, there are limitations to how much you can put in every year, but
there are limitations, but there are people that don't even take advantage.
Exactly.
So again, if you're in the period of your life where you are in that savings mode, take advantage of these. They will, in the long run, you'll wind up with a lot more money. So just think about it. If you put in the full $7,000 a year, and let's say you're in the 22% tax bracket, okay? Let's say you're really up there. And so you might pay $1,500 of tax on that thing. And you think, man, I could have put that in traditional, and I could have gotten a $1,500 tax break.
Right.
But now look at the long end. If you're young enough, you're putting in $7,000 a year, you don't have to make a huge return. You can be making 4 to 5% on an average. By the time you retire, that's going to be $1 million or more sitting there that doesn't have one penny of tax owed. So let's say you save that $1,540 for 25 years. You saved a total of $38,500 of taxes over 25 years, okay?
Right.
But if you got $1 million that you don't have to pay a penny of tax on, do you know how much you saved?
You've saved everything. Everything.
The numbers are just astronomical. So if you go back and let's say you get that million, and let's say for some crazy reason you decide to take it all out at one time, and if you did that, you'd be in the highest tax bracket, which right now is 37%. You would say goodbye to $37,000.
Right.
I mean, no. So think about that, the difference in the long run. So to me, yes, they're wonderful. They're not going to give you a big tax break today. Mm-mm. But that's the whole thing. It's like when you go to the gym and you walk out, you don't walk out saying, oh, I look like the Terminator. I am Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, I mean, how many times do you have to go to the gym to even be close to that, to get yourself in shape first, and then you can build into this muscle bound whatever, okay?
I'm still waiting for that to happen, Annalie.
Well, you know, I keep waiting when I do my exercise to grow another 3 or 4 inches, but that's not happening either. I mean, you know, and I keep trying, and it's like, no, it didn't work again. Didn't work. I don't know. But, you got to be realistic in some of the things that you do. It's like somebody came to me one day and said, you know, I want you to make me a millionaire. And we looked at salary. And I said, well, I can't make you one on this side. But if you add in your property, if you add in the other things that you're doing, the contribution you're making to me, you'll be worth cumulatively $1 million,
right,
way before retirement, but you can't give me $5,000 a year and you're already in your 50s and expect me to make you a millionaire.
Right.
That just isn't good math. Okay. Right. That's what they call the funny math. I think that's what they teach in school now. I don't know. So you gotta be realistic about it. But look at that long-term goal, and it's all goes back to that wonderful thing that I was taught so much during my childhood and my young adulthood was discipline. Mm-hmm. And Bob can tell you, I am an extremely disciplined person, and I'm glad of that.
Except when it comes, except when it comes to Lance.
Well, yeah, but that, you know. We all have our soft spots.
I have a few.
You know, I think we should make Snauzer handling part of the Olympics.
I wanted to mention this. The most important thing about Senator William Roth, he was a huge dog lover. He was rarely photographed in D.C. or anywhere. Without his dog, and I forget what the breed was, but it was, he had the same breed of dog for, I believe it was over 40 or 50 years, and was rarely photographed.
Rarely, you know, seen without.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact,
my kind of person.
Yes. One other thing, let me tell you, I remember reading this about him as a child, and he was born and raised in, I believe it's Great Falls or somewhere in Montana. And I want to say it's Great Falls or Great Fork or something like that. But his family business, his mother and father's business, and where he worked as a young man, as a teenager, and I guess summers, was at the family brewery. So there you go.
See, we had more in common than you would think. I love it.
Certainly the Roth IRA, and we're all grateful for this, is what he's remembered for, and in a way, I won't say his crowning achievement, because I'm sure something on the personal side was his crowning achievement, but it is the rarest of occasions that we would recommend prepaying an income tax or a tax of any sort, but this is one of those occasions where it makes a lot of sense. But of course, consult with your tax advisor before doing anything like a Roth conversion. Yes. But 'tis the season,
and I want everybody to be careful. Again, we mentioned this last week, and I'm going to mention it every week till we're past the holidays. Tis the season. Tis the season of overspending way too often. This has been a hard year for the majority of us. Some of us have lost jobs. We've been furloughed on and off, brought back, furloughed again. People have lost houses. People have become homeless. We've been sequestered. We haven't seen our families. Please be very, very careful of not trying to fill that hole with spending of money. That's not going to do it, okay? Because then you'll put yourself in debt or you'll overspend and use too much of money you should have for your future years and your retirement. Yes, remember them, send them something reasonable. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a Zoom call for my entire family on Christmas Eve. So we'll all be able to get on and see each other and say we love you to each other. And is it the same as being there and getting a hug? No, it isn't. But we're also going to make sure that we all open our Christmas presents to each other while we're on that call. And everybody's getting one thing, right, and that's it. And it's not going to be an overspent item. It's going to be an I love you item. And there's a difference, you know, because people think sometimes the more money you spend, the more it means you love someone. Well, that is not true. Right. The Hallmark industry has propagated that for years. You know, the bigger the gift, the more wonderful you are. No, that's not true. Sure. Okay. The meaningful gift is what you want. The meaningful gift that shows I love you. And sometimes that's your time.
Right.
I remember when I was a child, I didn't have any money. So I gave my daddy a coupon book. And that coupon book said, you know, I would help with this project or that project, or, you know, I would iron this shirt for him, or I would do that for him, whatever it was. And he could redeem those whenever he wanted. And I think that was probably the most meaningful thing I ever gave to him.
Huh. That, gosh, you know, wouldn't that be great?
I would like one of those. That'd be great.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's a thing that says, I love you. And it's not just you open it and say, wow, look how nice that is. And you put it away and, you know, you forget about it. It's something that keeps on giving, and it's there for a long time. I've had married couples tell me they kind of do the same thing. And, this coupon is good for one hug. This coupon is good for a kiss. This coupon is good for an hour of us sitting and just holding hands and talking to each other. Because what do we find happening? We live in a world that is so fast-paced moving. Even with us being home working, what happens? You each get involved in your own stuff, your computer, your iPad, whatever, and you forget to reach over and touch the other person, or you forget to say, I love you, or you forget that just that touch on the shoulder that sometimes means so very, very much. So as you're into the season of giving, think about those things. Be very, very careful. Don't overcharge the charge cards, because I think already a lot of people, because of the lack of work, have been putting a lot on charge cards. Only put what you have to put. Okay. Right. That scares me.
Right. And I love the idea of one gift, you know, and especially when you have a big group of people, you know, split it up and, you know, one gift or Secret Santas or something like that. I kind of campaign for that every year, but, you know, nobody likes it. So anyway, while you were talking about that, Annalee, I was thinking, you know, one of the biggest dilemmas we face during Christmas is what to get our loved ones. And mm-hmm. you know what? Maybe that's just a sign that they don't need it's very indicative of their needs, and maybe they don't need anything.
Yes.
And there are so many people that do, and so many causes that do. And with all of these mm-hmm. people out of work, it's been a tough year, maybe, you know, maybe we all need to look outward, you know.
That's been a strategy in our family this year, is to make a contribution on someone's behalf to a nonprofit or a charity that is meaningful or that would align, you know, with what they care about. I know a bunch of my family's not here in town, but I found local charities that I can give back to, and I'll just put it, you know, put a little picture, put it in the card and say, thank you so much. Merry Christmas. Yeah. And I did this in your name.
Right.
I'm going to support this mission that I believe in.
Right. Hey.
And I think what you just said, Ruthie, is such an important point. You put it into local charities. And I really think we have to think that through. We have so many things right under our noses that need help. We have a children's hospital here where parents cannot always afford to go in. We have homeless people right here under our noses. We have people who have lost jobs and therefore their children are only eating once a day. Parents are eating only once every 2 to 3 days so they can feed the children. This is all happening right here. And we have organizations here that are taking care of those people. So let's keep our contributions as local as we can. Many of our churches do a lot for the people in this area. Again, we don't have to go a continent away. We don't have to go 1,000 miles away to find people in need. They're right here.
Boy, I know that is true. And Annalee, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just while we have a few more moments, we actually had a question come in. So I could talk about that all day, but changing gears back to the financial strategy.
And the caller's name is Nancy, I believe.
Yes, Nancy in Pensacola.
Nancy in Pensacola.
Okay. Go ahead.
Her question, this is going to test us. Her question is, relates to converting an amount or all of her traditional to a Roth IRA. So converting a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA in 2020 and how that will affect her AGI, her adjusted gross income, and place her, Nancy, into another bracket as in terms of escalating her Medicare premium. So, again, something to look at, Nancy. I think, you know, you pay your Medicare Part B premium is about $150 up to $87.
Well, it all depends. Yeah. It all depends on your income. Okay.
Right.
So what you have to look at there, this is where it goes important, the importance of having a team that you're working with. So your tax person has to be involved. Your financial person has to be involved in this. So this is what I went back to before. When you do a conversion, you don't want to necessarily pop yourself up into another tax bracket.
Right.
With the very high standard deductions we have right now, sometimes I had somebody convert recently $25,000 and she only had to pay $800 of tax because of the high standard deduction that we have.
Right.
She's a head of household, has a child. So where you are, what your tax tables are going to depend on how much you can convert. Now, if you're at the stage where you're with Medicare, we have to sit and do those calculations and figure out, all right, if we do this conversion, can you pay that increase in your Medicare Part B for the next 2 years?
Right.
Because they have a 2-year look back. So if you can afford it, and this is a good thing, then we say, go ahead. If not, this is where we sit with figures and say, all right, if we do just this much, you don't pop into another tax bracket, nor does it affect your AGI, which therefore does not affect your Medicare premium.
Right.
See, it's a plan. You don't just go in and jump and say, oh, gosh, now I got to do this. No, you put it together and say, is it better for me to do it this year? Is it better for me to do it next year?
Right.
Go out, do good for people. Say please. Say thank you. Smile at people, for goodness sakes. And I know with the mask, smile with your eyes, okay? We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a peaceful and productive day.